morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, and sitting across me,
back from sunny Western New York, Mike Cosentino is here,
and not so silent Gary.
Yes, well, we're now that I'm here, we're relegating you back to silent Gary.
And what is our topic today? Our topic today is Republican presidential candidate.
So we're doing a 3.5 hour show today.
It may be 4.5.
Exactly.
There are currently 17 declared 17. Republican candidates. We apologize to any Republican that we don't mention who's running for office because it's a long list.
We may have decided in the last 30 seconds.
Probably if we haven't heard of them, you probably haven't heard of them either. But what I would say about them is they're crazy, they're wild.
They can be bought.
Right-wing.
If you got a few billion dollars, you can buy yourself a Republican.
And they're mostly owned by a single billionaire.
That's right. That's right.
Donald is very unhappy because Donald is lying about how much money he has, but he has a lot of money. He's self-funded. So he's ridiculing these guys. And so Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, and Rubio, and what's her name? Carly
Fiorina,
all went to the Koch brothers' big party of donors, the great donor party that's held in Dana Point, California. And Donald doesn't need the money. He referred to it as the begathon. The begathon is where Republican candidates go and beg for the big buck.
The only cool thing Donald ever said,
by the
way.
Genuflect before the Koch brothers before you get invited. Because they've only invited 5 guys. I guess they invited 6. Rand Paul decided not to come because they've been nasty to him. And kind of have made sure that they're not going to support him. So he knows he's not going to get it. So this is the billionaires' weekend where you go in and you try to sell yourself. And I don't know if we can say kiss ass on radio, but pretty much kiss ass of these billionaire guys and see if you can get some money out of them. So Gary's provided his usual 36-page compendium of the 17 Republican
candidates. It says that billionaire butt is just as worthless as anybody else's butt. So kissing it, the oligarchy is alive and well. Gary's going to define oligarchy for us, and that's basically when rich people run the government and they run the country. You know, the things are backwards, things are upside down. We know that the rich people run the government. The government is not the supreme authority. It is the other way around. The government does the bidding of all of these guys. And sure, maybe it's always been that way. But now
it's gotten much worse. The New York Times called it a tsunami, which is just a huge hurricane of money, big money flowing into the thing. But many of these guys, Mike, start out like Rubio starts out with a single billionaire. Starting his candidacy from when he just got going. He's got a single guy. Chris Christie has a single guy
like
who
poverty?
Founded Home Depot.
All I have is one billionaire.
So now they,
food stamps?
To the Koch brothers' party because one billionaire won't do it nowadays.
Okay,
they need at least, more than that.
We are not political analysts worth a damn. I did notice that this isn't CNN, but moving on. If we can't explain why Donald Trump is so popular, Donald Trump risen to the top of this?
I can tell you.
Is a weird fest.
Right from a famous economist, Paul Krugman said, and they said, "Why is Donald Trump? Because he makes no sense at all. If you're interested in actual facts," and Krugman says, "What did he say?" He's a loudmouth racist, and the people who are supporting him are loudmouth racists too. That's what he said.
So
they like that.
I get it. They like that abuse of
Mexicans. For example, charging the Mexican government is deliberately sending murderers and rapists to America. I mean, have you met any of these people coming up here fleeing poverty? I mean, so there are some bad guys.
He's a master of hyperbole. You know, the thing I like about Trump, by the way, everyone should, if you have an interest in Trump, go online, and there's a documentary done 25 years ago that is extremely unflattering to Trump.
How could it be anything else?
He threatened to sue anybody that would show it.
It's going viral by midnight.
It's called TrumpTheMovie.com is the website. And it basically ties him to the mob. It highlights a number of things like his three bankruptcies. He's been bankrupt as many times as he's been married. You know, he's three times.
This is a large private fortune. It's really very hard for the guys who analyze this, like Fortune Magazine and stuff, to actually know how much money he's had because it's held in real estate. Bankruptcy doesn't mean he goes
right
bust. It means the company that he set up and its investors go bust.
Right. Yeah. Other people lose money. He doesn't.
He's a fixture in New York politics, and he's got a tremendous race. He's now leading the Republican race by a lot of points. And one of the analysts, some of the Republican analysts that I've been reading say, the problem with Trump is that he's occupying the whole Tea Party ground that the other candidates want. Ted Cruz wants it. Rick Santorum wants to get the social conservatives and so forth and so on. And the Donald is in their way. And that, they say, is actually helping Jeb Bush because he seems like an adult. And he's running with the party line conservatives. But right now, the far right is occupied by so many candidates, and the Donald is so dominating it that the rest of the guys can't get the kind of attraction that Republican strategists thought they were going to get.
Even Bush's $103 million in donations for his campaign, including 12 people who donated $1 million or more, hasn't been able to use that money to get any traction at this point.
Remember, in 2014, what happens is that Mitt Romney has the money, and you had candidates like Rick Santorum, who came in second, and I think Michelle Bachmann, did she come in third? Anyway, Rick Perry, Herman Cain, remember him? There was the same guy running in the Republican primary that you probably have never heard of called John Huntsman from Utah.
I do remember that.
You remember that? Yeah, he was the guy who moderates and independents would have actually voted for. John
exactly,
Huntsman.
Exactly.
He went nowhere because he's not an extremist. And there was Newt Gingrich, the probably the most ethically challenged candidate in many, many decades.
Man.
It's not like the 2014 race was filled with really great
stellar candidates.
Rick Perry ran then, and he's running again now. How should we proceed? Should we talk about the leaders in the campaign?
Well, I just mention there
are a few really, I think, pretty good Republican candidates way, way down the list. There's the governor of Ohio, right, Gary?
Right. There's about three or four out of the 17 that would actually make, you know, reasonable presidents and have some success in running states that are way down the list, and most of them will never make the this week's Fox debate.
Debate.
Right.
Yeah.
And they think that John Casey has the best chance of the sane people?
Yeah, he actually might make the debate. But, you know, if you go down the list of their ratings or the polls, Trump is leading by a large margin. Jeb Bush is second, the last poll I saw. Then you get down to Scott Walker. who is somebody to really be feared. I don't think he has a chance of winning, but if he did, he has a horrible record. This is a guy who wants to be dictator.
Now, some of these guys running for president, like also in the Democratic Party, some of the guys running for president are really running for vice president. I mean, they want to get on the ticket. Their chances of getting the first spot are pretty small.
Well, they're running for all cabinet offices, just vice president.
They're running for Secretary of State. That's a very good
What are you going to give me when I get out of the race?
I will support you in the end. I will run against you, and then I will support you, and what do you give me?
So that's the other fun is deciding who's going to be running for what cabinet post.
And they're running for publishing deals. One of the reasons that so many of these people are running, even though they know they don't have a chance, is that by running for the office, they have a good chance of scoring a large publishing deal or getting on Fox News to get their own show.
It is important, though. We're talking about racism. John Stewart has some. It is such a thing still in this country, and it's so amazing to some of us that it's such a big deal, and especially the young people. But we've had lots of white guy presidents. And we just had a black president, and I do see going around social media that if in Trump we have an orange president, his fake tan is so bad that we are electing certainly at least he's a color of something, and that's
well, it's different. I mean, the candidate, so Rick Perry is running again, and he's not taking the pain pills that apparently made him woozy, or he claims made him woozy when he did the debates.
And he has a new set of glasses.
He has a new set of glasses, so he looks more intelligent. He's a smart, clever man. I think one of the, I mean, it may have been a kind of a Republican magazine, but they said that Perry was not running for president of the United States. He was running for chief executive of a country ruled by the Articles of the Confederacy. Confederation.
I like that.
Which means basically that he's running against the federal government and for states.
Yeah.
And in the old system before the Constitution, that didn't work, that led to disaster. And that's, so what they're saying is that's his vision of government, right? It's pre-constitutional rather than post-constitutional.
And it brings up a point about Trump. One of the reasons I believe for his success so far is there's this fascination in the Republican Party about running the government like a business. And so Trump being a big businessman, I think there's a belief that he will bring business principles to the office, which really, if you think about it, being a CEO of a large company is being a dictator. So if you like dictators, by all means, vote for a business.
Well, you watch Shark Tank if you don't believe that. Those guys run their companies like.
Well, and we've got Carly Fiorina running, whose claim to fame is that she was thrown out of Hewitt Packard for running the company into the ground. But they gave her, what, a $50 million going away package.
I can tell you, actually.
What the figures on
she,
her?
She got $100 million in total payments. She went from, in 1998, being named by Forbes as the most powerful woman in business, as she was elected, or chosen as CEO of Hewlett Packard. Then by the time she was booted out and had virtually destroyed the company, she was called by a Yale business management scholar as the worst CEO for destroying half the wealth of her investors and yet still earning almost $100 million in total payments for her destructive reign of terror.
Now, this is a good resume, Gary, for running for president of the United States in the Republican Party. I mean, this is a business executive who was a disaster. And what do you do after you're a disaster as a business executive? And then she ran for Senate, right? And she got beat, even though she's put in millions and millions and millions millions and millions of dollars of her own money.
She was chosen to assist with the McCain campaign in California, and the same scholar from Yale said, you couldn't pick a worse non-imprisoned CEO to be your standard bearer.
Nobody I know has took Trump seriously before this presidential race. I mean, this guy was a joke. He was a TV joke, and all of a sudden now he's we're taking him seriously.
But Krugman is right. He's a freewheeling guy who's expressing the frustration of the very conservative.
He's
Republican
extending
the
methods of Fox News. If we scare the crap out of them, they come together. And I hear from my breakfast buddies. I hear down at the coffee shop. Hey, these guys are not like deep analysts like we are. They're saying, I like what he's got to say. And that's because he says all these outrageous things.
I think Krugman's point is he's saying what they want to hear. Yeah. It's not respectable because, and his comments on immigrants from Mexico are deeply racist. In other words,
it should eliminate
our electing. So it doesn't, because he's expressing the deeper feelings and deeper frustrations of people on the far right. Yeah. And this is what the Republicans are now concerned of. He's taking up the space, or at least the really conservative candidates like Ted Cruz are having, right, Gary? They're having trouble getting any purchase, any grip on this contest because the Donald's way.
Comedians and fact checkers, it's a boon to them. Yes, they love Trump. They keep fact-checking virtually everything the man says.
Yeah.
And virtually nothing he has said to date since becoming a candidate, has been fact-checked as true. Everything is a lie.
I want to say it again. The guy is campaigning on lie after lie after lie after mistruth after half-truth after bent truth. So here's the bottom line. Does he have a chance?
He's expressing the fears of the far right, of people who see the country falling away from their values and moving on.
Do we live in a place where Donald Trump could be president?
Actually, a list, there's a joke. I think it was in the New York Times. But anyway, one of the columnists went and talked to a bunch of Republican experts and wonks. He found, he said, five of them who weren't working for candidates. But he said there must have been at least 10 in the country that weren't working for a candidate.
I see.
They listed Trump, I think, third or fourth in terms of possibilities of getting there. He was shocked that they thought, to answer your question, Mike, he was shocked that they thought Trump had as much chance as these guys did. But, if there's 17 guys running for president and you're a Republican expert, and nobody's hired you. I mean, how good are they at, guessing who's going to be what? Jeb Bush was first, and I think Walker and Rubio are up there. They had a list, and the Atlantic had a list of the guys plus some of their supporters. And to answer your question on Trump, so they listed, this billionaire for this guy and this billionaire for that guy and this organization for this guy, family value stuff. For Trump, they listed as his principal supporter John Stewart, the comedian.
let's talk about Bush. One of the things I'd like to point out about Jeb Bush is that, first of all, he rigged the Florida election in 2000 so his brother could be elected, and that's been proven many times over.
I mean, nobody cares.
And nobody seems to care that the presidential election for the United States was stolen by a candidate's brother.
They just tell you to stop whining. Stop whining.
Stop
whining. The guy stole the election.
That was a long time ago.
He rigged the presidential election.
And then the other thing that I would like to point out, aside from his $103 million in donations from millionaires, is that he claims to have overseen as Florida governor the greatest growth in job growth in Florida in some time.
Isn't that true, Gary?
No. And if you really look into it, under Bush, Most of the growth was by the housing market as people fled the Rust Belt to go south.
Like Arizona.
And so, but it was even worse in Arizona. They were building houses like crazy.
Yes.
And when the housing bubble burst, the state virtually, the economy virtually collapsed. In the next, following, his last year was 2007. And in the next few years, hundreds of thousands of Floridians lost their homes, mostly the poor and the middle class.
You have a figure in here that says that in the 4 years after Bush left office, this is when the crash hits, the median income in Florida declined by $5,700.
Yep. More than a 10% drop and double the percentage of the nation as a whole.
And that Florida families' net worth fell 60% in that time?
Yes. Yes, okay. And now 200,000 fewer families in Florida own their homes. They're renting homes and apartments from the Wall Street crooks that stole the money to begin with.
George Bush took your job, sent it overseas. The banks took your house. Don't vote Republican. I'm just going to replay this message over and over. I'm not showing up anymore. I'm just going to put a little.
We're going to play a little recording of you saying that.
They want to take your Social Security. They want to take away Medicare. They want to take food stamps. All the social safety nets that make a good liberal social democracy, that's why people want to be American. That's why America is the shining light for the world, not because of our Christianity, but because we people had a chance here. You could live. You could find work. The jobs are gone. The money's gone. The social safety nets are trying to take them away. I don't want to sound like a Republican by saying everything's terrible. Life is beautiful. We live in Sedona. The sun shines. We're babbling on the radio, and Tom is not putting a M16 to our heads yet.
He might
so
before
Jeb,
we're done.
Jeb Bush seems to be the Romney of this election. In other words, he has the money. He has the Republican establishment. If you looked at 2014, at one point, Herman Cain, remember him? He was leading the pack.
But Bush,
and so the fact that the Donald is leading the pack now,
it
went with the money.
It was
Romney. It wasn't any of these guys. Romney picked a far right wing guy from the Midwest who's kind of faded. Because his figures weren't so good.
Paul Ryan.
His economics was a little shaky, guys. So Jeb Bush is occupying that ground. He's conservative enough to appeal to the base, they think, and he's establishment enough to get the money. And he's a Republican
standard
main candidate.
He's got the Bush problem, and that is the things I read. The stupid things he says just can't be getting him votes on either side.
Apparently not. He's not given the amount. Gary's saying, I think before the show, given the amount of money he has, the name recognition, and his positioning, he should be doing a lot better than he is.
One of the problems I think we should all be in fear of is that he has virtually the same advisors as his brother did.
What's it?
On foreign affairs.
So if you didn't like the invasion of Iraq and all of the foreign policy of George W.
That's going well.
Then you're going to get a second dose of it if Jeb is elected.
Lindsey Graham is running, and he's one of these guys with John McCain who never saw anywhere he didn't want us to get into a war with, and intervention. They think he's not really seriously running, although he may have changed his mind, but he's basically pumping the neoconservative interventionalist side. And you notice that Rand Paul, who started out as a non-interventionist, right, Gary, has now been flip-flopping all over the place. He wants to invade Syria or something. He wants to get into the Syrian civil war. I mean, the small move that the Obama administration made, which they should not have done, what happened to their little group? They managed to train, 56 guys who weren't either militant somebodies or others. And heads of the group were arrested or kidnapped by by the NRS up front, which is a competitor to the Islamic State, but it's an old Al Qaeda branch. I mean, this is where we're going. So even the people who seemed a little different when they started running for president. Not so much, but I think we should, you know, and Mike said before the show, we need to take this seriously and not joke around too much.
Well, I want to say this. It's 8:40. It's whatever day it is. It's Monday. The 2016 presidential race in the United States is going to be Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, barring any really, really kind of cool. I mean, I would almost love to see it on either side. Some white knight coming in, somebody coming in with a program, and which is exactly what Donald Trump is trying to do and has succeeded. But his message being so ugly and so wrong is we like to think isn't going to succeed. But right now it's going to be Hillary and Bush. So I mean, everything else here is just
well,
conversation.
We don't know. But I think there's some people we need to talk about, Mike. And I'm thinking of Scott Walker, who is the, well,
who's
people
the
who
crap
knowing are comparing, right. comparing to him, he's more Nixonian than Richard Nixon.
That's came
cynical,
from John Dean.
Yeah, it came from John Dean, who used to work for Nixon.
Oh, wow.
And he said he's more Nixonian than Richard Nixon. This is a very crafty, very cynical, and it's all about, he has incredibly good conservative credentials, but the people who know him says that he's an unscrupulous guy, apparently, in terms of his background. But he has a lot of support among conservative for union bashing and this stuff, and how'd he do in Wisconsin, Gary?
I'd take issue with he has the credentials. The credentials he has are the Koch brothers are behind him, along with the Cubs owner, who Joe Ricketts, who's put $5 million into his campaign.
They caught him talking to a phony Koch brother about all the stuff he was going to do. But that was sort of fun, but it didn't get him. He got reelected, Gary.
Mostly because he and his Republican allies did the worst job of, or actually, in, from their perspective,
the best
job of gerrymandering, which makes it virtually impossible for a Democrat to ever get elected there. But if you look at his credentials as governor, since he became governor, spending has exceeded revenue by $29 million. The revenue to GSP ratio of Wisconsin, you know, the gross state product, has dropped to minus 9.9%. It's almost 10%. It's negative in 2014.
Not even
he's done all the theoretically good conservative things.
Cutting taxes.
It was supposed to, the Wisconsin economy was supposed to take off.
The federal spending to revenue ratio for a long time with Wisconsin, they got about 50 cents back for every dollar they put into federal income tax revenue. Excuse me. Now has climbed to Wisconsin receives $1.59 for each dollar that it puts into the federal government. So he's really, you know, destroyed the Wisconsin economy. He's destroyed the public unions. He's gerrymandered the almost irreparably the state
body
districts.
Politics, voting.
What they said about him, Gary, do you think this is true? What they said about him is what he's good at is changing the rules of the game, like doing the gerrymandering, like appointing people to the court, getting rid of a judge that he doesn't like. So when the investigation of his campaign practices and stuff goes underway, he's got control of the judges who are looking at it, and they dismiss the case.
That's real important.
That's what they're saying. You think that's true? He's working structurally.
He does unscrupulous things that most politicians would never ever dream of doing, and he does it blatantly and doesn't care because he's so gerrymandered it. John Dean did a further study on, well, basically on dictators, and he said that Walker has every attribute of a dictator, and he said he has a policy of incite, sow fear, attack, and punish. So anybody that stands up to him gets attacked and punished. He's
Republicans. He smashed the moderate and moderately conservative wing of
Joe McCarthy tactics.
He smashed the moderate and the conservative area, wing of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. They're intimidated. They're afraid to say anything
when you have leadership by ideology.
What does this mean? And John Dean called him. It's clear to me that the Wisconsin has a double high authoritarian governor. What is a double high authoritarian government? He calls him a conservative without conscience, which I think clearly he is. But what is a double high authoritarian government?
He's doubly bad, I think is what it
means. Well, that's it. That's like I said. And this is, and once again, stepping back here, we're analyzing all 17 Republican candidates, and supposedly, although we are concentrating on a few, that and what I see in almost all of them is leadership by ideology. You want to be careful of anybody that puts some sort of not even worthy of the name conservative, but we're going to say some sort of Republican, some sort of conservative ideology ahead of the people that they're governing, ahead of the programs that they're supposed to administer, ahead of the values, the real values of humanity. And that's what these candidates do time after time after time. And that's what's scary.
So
we're talking about Doug Ducey. We're talking about Jan Brewer. Mm-hmm. We're talking about those people that ideology is more important than anything else.
We're concentrating on the folks that the Koch brothers invited to their big money party. And we're concentrating on Fox News determines a lot who's a Republican player or not. There's some limitation. Apparently they would like to get rid of Trump, but they can't quite do it. So he's going to make the cut because he's leading the pack. But the 10 people that they pick, they're going to pick 10 of these candidates of the 17 candidates. And then they're going to have, a kids' table where the other seven can talk to each other.
No, we're going to make a prediction here on Democratic perspective, and that is watch Fox News when as soon as Trump starts to stumble, as soon as his numbers start to go down, then I think you're going to see Fox News pile on, as they say in football, and because they want to get rid of him so bad. And the other candidates want him out so bad.
Koch brothers want him out.
So as soon as he slips a little bit,
big money wants him out.
Then Fox News and the other conservative
media. But Roger Ailes doesn't want him out, and that's why he's such a darling. Right?
Well, you're a media guy. You want people like I loved Ev Meekum when I was working as a reporter. I mean, you could not get enough good Sam Steiger. I mean, some people are old enough to remember all these Arizona politicians that were great copy. You couldn't lose.
Well, that's why they list that John Stewart as his biggest supporter because he provides so much material.
Back in my day, we had a little good material. Now there's so much good, so much outlandish stuff. Where do you begin? Poor people like Jon Stewart, they have more material than they can use.
Let's look at some of the far-right candidates, because we were talking about earlier, I think the Republican analysts who say, Jeb Bush is over on one side, so what Donald does doesn't really affect his numbers.
That's true.
But what he's doing, he's occupying the space where Ted Cruz. Let's talk about Ted Cruz.
Wow.
Let's talk about
Huckabee,
Marco Rubio, Huckabee. Gary, give us some facts. Do the color on this?
Huckabee, the guy that wants to use the U.S. Army to prevent women from getting abortions? Yeah, that Huckabee?
He was Huckabee.
Well, you had a Walker who wants to start a war with Iran on the first day he's in office.
This kind of supports my point from earlier, is that Huckabee, if you run for president with the Republican Party, you get really good publishing deals. So last year he earned $4 million. letters and speeches and publishing. So that's what you get for running.
Oh,
for,
I want
for
a publishing
president.
Deal.
And
he came in second, though, in 2014, and they think he's not going to even get close to anything this time. He's kind of old-fashioned has-been.
He's gone off the rails. I mean, he's said some of the stupidest things you can imagine.
Give us an example.
He has come out saying that evolution is only a theory. That's why it's called the theory of evolution. Yeah, like the theory of gravity. He says there's never been a civilization that has rewritten what marriage and family means and survived. That was in reference to gay marriage. So he's adamantly about against gay marriage.
And he compared the peace treaty, which it's a limited treaty with five countries, the P5 plus one, with Iran. He compared that. He said that was like sending Jews to the oven.
You beat me to it. It's by doing
I,
so.
I did. Sorry.
Obama will take Israelis and march them to the door of the oven.
Wow.
And the other one is kind of up there. I think is his libido comment about women. He says Democrats want to insult the women of America by making them believe that they are helpless without Uncle Sugar coming in and providing a prescription each month for birth control because they cannot control their libido or their reproductive system without the help of the government. Then so be it.
Okay, I don't want to talk about Huckabee
All right,
anymore.
Let's talk about
moving on.
No, let's talk about Ted Cruz.
Okay,
Ted Cruz is deeply hated by almost every Republican. He's a sort of genius. Understand the talent, Mike. These guys are talented, or they wouldn't have gotten there.
I agree.
Huckabee is a very smart man. His politics may be sort of to us idiotic, but he's a very smart man who's managed to maneuver himself from almost nothing to his position. And so are these other guys. And Ted Cruz was, I think, the head of the debate team at Harvard, and is a Harvard educated, extremely smart guy. The most extreme. The problem Ted Cruz has, and I think Gary will give you the details, is he's so arrogant and he's caused so much trouble in the Senate that I don't know that there's a Republican in politics who really supports him. What he has is some billionaires in Texas behind him. Go ahead, Gary.
You know, he's one of the Eastern elites that the Republicans, you know, talk about negatively so much because he went to...
So Ted Cruz is an Eastern elite.
He went to Princeton University and Harvard Law School. When he was in private practice with a law firm, he worked on, he handled the issues for the NRA, and then he helped prepare a testimony for the impeachment of Clinton. Those are his two big claims to fame. And then he helped Jeb Bush, he put together the legal team to help Jeb steal the election for W. And I thought this was kind of interesting. His first call was to John Roberts,
the chief of the Supreme Court.
Right. Put together
the non-political body of the United States government.
He wasn't at the time, Roberts put the 50-page legal brief together for the Supreme Court ruling that gave the election to W. And just coincidentally, he is then chosen several years later to be W's Supreme Court.
A little bit on Ted Cruz's thing. Ted Cruz runs, forget the guy's name, but he runs against the established Republican in Texas. Ted Cruz is angry. He's extreme.
Right.
He's kind of all over the place. He says stuff. And he appeals to the Republican base in Texas enough to defeat a major establishment Republican and scare Republican.
Yeah.
When he got into the Senate, he's been kicking down walls, causing trouble, causing defaults, and so forth and so on. He's so arrogant that he doesn't really play well with others, even if they're of the same political persuasion.
Right? And most of the bills that he's sponsored or co-sponsored are to repeal Obamacare.
He wanted to shut down the government, didn't he, Gary?
He did shut it down over the debt ceiling. I was just going to say that PolitiFact Texas has fact-checked 50 of his statements so far, 35 which have been rated mostly false, or pants on fire, a good number of them.
Yeah.
He says the things that any civilized person would not say
he makes stuff up, but he's a city.
Can
US
you give us an example?
Which is scary.
He give us some examples.
He was at, for example, he was at a gathering of a largely Arab Christian audience in Washington. You know, keep in mind he's Christian too, and he
bothers a fundamentalist preacher in Texas.
They boot him off stage for his vocal support of Israel. And to them, he said, "I am saddened to see that some here, not everyone, but some here are so consumed with hate. If you will not stand with Israel and the Jews, then I will not stand with you." So, he goes out of his way to get in people's faces.
He's a piece of work.
He said some really a number of just insulting, over-the-top things. Let's get a sense of who Ted Cruz is by some quote.
On Harvard Law School, his alma mater, he said, "There were fewer declared Republicans in the faculty when we were there than communists. There was one Republican, but there were 12 who would say they were Marxists who believed in the communists overthrowing the U.S. government."
So he's a McCarthyite. He sort of looks like Joe McCarthy, and his politics are McCarthyite. He's unscrupulous in his attacks on people. And you have someone like Jeb Bush is a really much more sound person, and he does not do this kind of thing. You have in Ted Cruz, a bomb-throwing guy who is very smart and very calculated. He's not a Michelle Bachmann who just runs at the mouth, or he's not a Rick Santorum who's so extreme in his religious views, in his almost medieval religious views, that he says things that offend people. He's a much more calculated guy. He's trying to build as quickly as he can power in the Senate. And I think it's backfired on him, but
we'll see.
Gotten more examples, Gary?
Are we going to do Democrats? I'm sorry. Are we?
Not today.
No.
Five
I'm
Democrats
talking about on another show.
I know you folks think there's only two, but there's actually
now,
five.
Stop bringing this up now because we don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah,
We want to do Jeb. I think we should do Jeb Bush when we do the Democrats. I went down to Bernie's rally down at the Phoenix Civic Convention Center. I'm going to write it up for the Noise, actually, the Little Noise magazine. I'm going to write up my experience at Bernie's rally. Me and the 11,000 of my closest friends.
I never heard about this rally.
Bernie Sanders had a big rally in Phoenix?
Really?
Sure,
and it wasn't in the news.
There's nearly three times as many people there as Trump's rally.
It was on page 22.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
Section B, right?
I'd like to point out a couple of the Republican candidates. There actually are a few that wouldn't be completely distasteful.
Let's get their names out there, because there are some decent candidates like Huntsman.
Ohio's former governor, John Kasich. The only real negative I could find on him is that he was a managing director of Lehman Brothers.
You know what he did? He threw a copy of Roots. He got the Roots DVD. He hated it so much he threw it out his car window. He tried to get the movie Fargo banned from Blockbuster. But other than that, he's... top of the list, I guess.
Bobby Jindal is a potentially reasonable candidate. Former New York Governor George Pataki did work across the aisle when he was Governor of New York.
Seems to be completely out of it now, but he won election in New York, a blue state, as a Republican three times.
And the last one who I think is actually would make a reasonable president is Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia, who worked across the aisle.
And he's running.
And he's running.
Okay. And no one's heard of Gilmore. He's been out of politics for a while, but he's an interesting guy. There are some good Republican candidates. We're kind of treating this lightly.
There are some scary Republican candidates. I don't want to go as far as good.
Okay, I can accept that, Mike.
So we want to thank our Democrats at the Red Rocks for throwing a little money our way to help keep Democratic perspective on the air. We want to thank Democrats of the Verde Valley, such as they are, for the same thing. We have breakfast coming up. We have door breakfasts coming up. The big topic of conversation locally is the national monument status for
and we're going to do another program on the national
monument. We are going to do another program on national monument status for Sedona. We talked about National Scenic Area before. We want to talk about, you can find this show and all our shows on vvid.org. vvid.org has our podcasts.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catches every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.